To another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. Joining me today is Wario Will.
Never thought I would have seen a day when I see Super Saiyan Mario of all things. Oh my lord, that trailer, like, I don't know. I'm honestly considering, should I double dip for Super Mario 3D World or just simply for Bowser's Fury? I have no idea.
So if he does go Super Saiyan, well, is his power level going to be over 9,000?
Well, the fact that we always keep collecting coins, over 9,000 coins for Mario, I wouldn't be surprised.
It wasn't like that. It wasn't like 3DS game Super Mario Brothers 2 or whatever, like the quest for like a million coins. So
something like that.
Something like that. Like that was the whole point, was a coin rush. So, but yeah, we'll be talking about that. And wishing he could go supersonic/Saiyan is Tellius Tyler.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this a few seconds. I just need to be abundantly clear that this is once again Nintendo ripping off Sega, because this is a Sonic Adventure shout out with Perfect Chaos and Super Sonic. I'm sick of the Super Saiyan thing. It's a clear Sonic ripoff, which is a ripoff of Dragon Ball Z. I get that. Don't worry about that part.
Right.
Nintendo ripped off Sonic again.
Yeah. Whatever you say, man. Whatever you say. All right, so we have an interesting show for you today, including the return of the Splatfest, which we'll be dealing with in our main event. But first, we're getting it all started off with what have you been playing? And Tyler, since you seem so riled up over the Super Saiyan Sonic controversy, why don't you tell us what you've been playing?
Yes, that is an unbelievable question, good sir. What
have
I been
played
playing?
Anything?
You know what? I don't really think I have, besides Smash Bros, of course, with my family.
That counts.
I drove back to North Carolina this week, and the first couple of days have been busy, so I haven't been playing a whole lot. But yeah, no, and I've been playing Donkey Kong Country 3 on the Super Nintendo Switch Online thing. It's another Donkey Kong Country game that I've beaten 100 times and still never gets old to me. But that's really it. It's been a quiet week for me.
Yeah, I'm pretty much getting kind of in the same boat as well, because this past week has been kind of a bit rough in the first 3 days. But thankfully, today has lightened up, thankfully, so I actually managed to get some game time in. And right before the podcast, I actually managed to go and get one crown from Fall Guys. Yes, Fall Guys is still keep going at it. And I just got to say, I'm just really surprised how they managed to go and collab with Bethesda and get the license for Doom costumes, which, yeah, they had Mega Demon and... Cyclo Demon, but also I'm just waiting for the moment when they drop a Doom Guy's costume. So yeah, I could just play Doom Guy and Fall Guys. So just before the podcast, got myself a quick win, as well as also just briefly again the usual, just playing Fire Emblem Heroes, just grinding up the orbs, of course with the new banner. So there's that, and just briefly here and there. I think I have touched the Hades, I mean, since the last time we talked about it, but nothing really much has changed as well. So yeah, I've just been waiting on of Yakuza Like a Dragon. But overall, it has been generally been a kind of like for myself as well.
Yeah, I've been, I would definitely say I had a light week. I can literally define my gaming experiences outside of Fire Emblem Heroes in the last 30 minutes before the podcast, because I finally got my hands on Puyo Puyo Tetris 2. Yeah, and I of course played the original, reviewed it for the website, and I really enjoyed it. It really re-sparked my love of Tetris, and that was before Tetris 99 came out, which obviously like skyrocketed that thing. But yeah, I'm playing Puyo Puyo Tetris 2, and I'm just starting out in the story mode, and I'm pretty sure that the main character Ringo is voiced by the woman who voices Sothis.
Oh, Cassandra Lee Morris. Okay.
Yeah, 90% sure. It's the same tone, same style, speaking style. So I don't know for sure, but it's nice to have a familiar voice. But it's fun. I forgot how fun it is to do Tetris. I'm not as good at Puyo Puyo. I'm not gonna lie. It's harder because it's about colors, is not, you know, shape alignments and getting lines. It's about getting 4+ in a row. So like those battles take longer for me. And in typical arrogant host fashion, I had an early level where I had to beat somebody, and like one of the goals was like, hey, if you can beat it in less than 3 minutes, you'll get a second star. And I'm like, oh, with my Tetris skill level, I will clearly beat this in under 3 minutes. I did it in 3 minutes and 14 seconds. I'm like, give me a break. I'm playing against the computer. And then in another Puyo level, I actually played Puyo and I did it in like 45 seconds. I'm like, okay, sure.
Yeah, you know? And just also since you mentioned Puyo Puyo Tetris as well, also just recently announced today at the time of recording as well, they actually have a Sega collaboration and actually have Sonic in this game that's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, the Japanese version has already been shown and it'll be coming to the U.S. soon. So there you go, Tyler. There's a reason to get Puyo Puyo Tetris. You can play a Sonic!
It almost got me. It didn't almost get me. But as far as things that could get me to play Puyo Puyo Tetris goes, this is probably close. Yeah. Sort of.
It's voiced by the same guy. Again, Roger Craig Smith. Yeah, Roger Craig Smith is voicing Sonic. He is going to do voice lines for this game. So, yes.
So it's like, Sonic, I thought you were a Sonic fan. You know?
I just, the Puyo Puyo Tetris thing, it's fun, but it's just not worth whatever the asking price is. Like, if it was like $4, I'd buy it.
40 bucks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not my thing.
It's fine, I kid. But I'm just getting started in this. I'll be playing it over the weekend alongside the Splatfest, which I think we'll be talking about. But after playing Hyrule Wars, which is very much more of a, you know, intense, I've got to, you know, kill these thousands of enemies. It's nice just to play something a little more simple.
Yep.
You know, it's like, hey, let's line up the Tetris blocks and, you know, get the colors in Puyo Puyo. So, and it's so, and I don't mean this as an insult, it's so dang Japanese. Alright, they have this guy in a cat suit, and they're calling him an upperclassman, and he's like a prodigy in love, whatever the heck that means. Yeah, and it's just like, and he's like narrating to himself, and yeah, it's so Japanese, but I love it. So I'll hopefully, I know it's late, I know it came out last month, but whenever I get the chance, I will pull up a review. It's going to be a fun little adventure game with, you know, puzzle solving and all that, so I'm all for it. It's just fun, but yeah, it's fine to have a light week. It's been a weird week for me, especially, although ironically, we are now 2 weeks into January.
Yes.
Somehow.
Yeah, so, we're in the middle of the month right now, so yeah, it's just kind of surprised that we're already speeding past in January already. It is quite surprising. Yeah.
It happens. So, moving on to the news. We have been inundated with very interesting things, including some stuff for two very important franchises. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. Now, I would have loved to start this off and say, hey, one of us has already got one of our draft picks right. It hasn't happened yet. I was honestly really hoping for a Nintendo Direct, and there was rumors. There was rumors that a Nintendo Direct was coming, but it hasn't happened yet. However, we did get a personal desire in that we have new information and a release date for new Pokemon Snap. People are making fun of the new part. I'm like, it's been, what, 20-some-odd years since Pokemon Snap came out? I'm okay with calling it new. It is new. It's new.
It is, but Nintendo just overdoes the new thing, you know?
New!
Just slap new on things. And...
Yeah, new Super Mario Brothers. Yeah, I know. But yes, we do have new information on the new... I'm not going to stop that. But yes, so here's the deal. In this version of Pokemon Snap, we're going to the Lentil region, which is kind of like an archipelago, and you're going to be going from island to island on an ecological survey for a brand new professor, and you will, of course, be building your Pokemon Photodex as you observe the wild Pokemon in their natural habitat. Glorious, as always. And we can confirm via the trailer that was released today, a very beautiful and relaxing trailer, might I add, that there will be Pokemon from basically all regions. We've already gotten, you know, Kanto, Johto, Sinnoh, Galar and Kalos fused somehow. Pokemon thing, it happened. Blame Arceus. But yes, all generations are going to be represented here, and after some research and such, it has been revealed that there are over 200 Pokemon in new Pokemon Snap.
That's interesting.
Yeah, which we'll talk about in a second, but the gameplay is basically the same. You know, you're going to be on rails in a movable capsule and trying to catch Pokemon on camera, and it's just going to be a nice, fun Poke adventure to, you know, see how beautiful you can make the Pokemon look on camera. So, fun times.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very, like, there's definitely something great to see Pokemon Snap once again, especially in the HD realm. Like, even back compared to the original N64 days, which, remember those polygonal days? Oh, boy. And, yeah, like, well, I'm very happy to see, like, how, like, just how these Pokemon look great. And, of course, like, I can't wait to see the different interactions of Pokemon, like, especially with that, like, one Heracross and Pinsir going at each other, like Beetle Pokemons. Like, the only thing I'm kind of, like, wondering is, of course, naturally, again, like, the UI, how is it going to be, the gameplay. I mean, sure, they showed off, like, cinematics and all that, but I want to see, like, full-on gameplay, which, no doubt about it, I'm pretty sure they will reveal it in a Pokemon Direct, probably, like, in the month beforehand, likely. That's my guess. But I just want to see the UI and just see how it is, because, like, the basic formula in Pokemon Snap in N64 was pretty much, like, the basic as it is, but I want to see how they improved it since then. So that's just my only worry right now.
Yeah, I would have liked to see some gameplay as well. I actually only played the original Pokemon Snap like once or twice for a few minutes, and it's not something that's near and dear to my heart like it is for so many others. But I do think the game visually looks great, and that's been a big complaint of mine for the Pokemon Company's recent outings. And I know a game focusing on taking pictures, it better have good graphics. So I'm sure that they, you know, put extra focus on it, but it's nice to see. I think that succeeded from what we've seen so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, I mean, we saw like the teaser trailer last year, which feels like a lifetime ago. The trailer, not last year, that's not long enough away. But, yeah, I was very curious about how they were going to show it, how they're going to play it, you know, and I was very happy with the graphics overall. And they made sure to say, like, hey, graphics aren't final and blah, 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 but it's going to be close to what you see here. And it looks like just, you know, a little more, like Will noted before the podcast, a little more photorealistic, you know, a little more stylized than before. And I'm rewatching the trailer as I'm talking, but, you know, I like what I'm seeing. First and foremost, it feels more natural, you know, in terms of like seeing the Pokemon in their habitats, like with the original Pokemon Snap, you know, there was very much simulated, like, oh, the Rhyhorn would pop out of here if you knew what to do, or, oh, there's Lapras over there if you turn at the right time. This feels like a much more natural thing. Like, I'm seeing Toucanion and Pikipek in a nest, you know, or seeing Bonsweet and Wooper walking through grass and all that, and, you know, Stantler and Purloin and all of them. It feels like this really is like a Pokemon world that they're just living in, and we're going through it. And that's pretty cool. And there's definitely some scenes for really good shots to get, and I'm really liking what I'm seeing. And the Pokemon just look really, really good, and yet, you know, not overly realistic like a certain Detective Pikachu. But there's even like a shot of a Heracross and a Pinsir battling, and I'm like, yeah, that's real, because you know that would happen. So. I was a little weird, tripped out by the ending, which was the Meganium reveal, because I thought they were about to do a Mega Evolution thing, and no, it's just Meganium. I'm like,
yeah,
okay, and it's glowing. It's like, is that a shiny Meganium? Is that relevant somehow? I don't know. But, yeah, I'm excited for this. I remember playing Pokemon Snap. My best friend at the time, Tyler, had it, because he had an N64 long before I ever did. His family was basically rich. And I remember playing it, and I loved it because of a very, I don't want to say base reason, but it's simplistic. And it wasn't the Pokemon or, like, the photography. The main character's name was Todd.
Yeah.
See, people forget that. The game actually came after the character in the anime. In the anime, there was a character named Todd who was a Pokemon photographer. And Team Rocket unintentionally hired him to catch Pikachu, and they didn't realize that meant catching him on camera. Oops. So anyway, Todd was a fun character, and so I liked that game. And I like the idea of, you know, going throughout the Pokemon world and just taking pictures of them in their natural habitats. I really like that. And, you know, it was an incredibly simple game, and so that might have been why it took them, you know, 20-plus years to get the sequel going. But, hey, it's here, and it's coming out on April 30th. Which means it's not that long of a wait, you know. I would have honestly expected it to come later. So I'm glad. Now, the big thing that I do want to talk about is the reveal that came a little bit later that there are 200 Pokemon in the game. Is that too few? Because now I want to temper your expectations, because if you recall, the original Pokemon Snap only has 63 Pokemon.
Right.
Which honestly, I thought there was a lot more, but apparently not. So, and that was Gen 1. So they couldn't even put all of Gen 1 in that Pokemon game for whatever reason. But and if they could do it in Pokemon Stadium. Weird. But is that too few for a game like this, especially with all the advancements we had? Because I mean, Gold, not Gold and Silver, Sword and Shield had way more than 200. Like, what, they have like 500 at first, and then the DLC. So, like, is this too few for a Pokemon Snap Adventure?
I
Go
would
ahead.
say, yeah. I mean, I feel as though to me it's not a deal breaker. And yeah, it seems though there's so many Pokemon they could create more cool scenarios if they added more in. And maybe that's why they kept it at 200. That's still a significant amount. But you know, the Heracross and the Pinsir fighting, like that's a cool thing. Kind of harkens back to the olden days. And I'm sure that there are more scenarios that could be created like that if they had more Pokemon added. So from that perspective, I would say, yeah, it's a little low.
Well, for me, I kind of like would argue the opposite wise, because like again, it has been a long time since the last Pokemon Snap, and of course naturally with all these different generation Pokemons, like you can only imagine like how many Pokemon they had to do, and of course we're going to interactions, how they would interact with each other. It's definitely going to be a lot of things to really consider, and I couldn't like sure they probably had enough time to consider all these different interactions and probably what they shown in the trailer, but I feel like 200 is probably a decent spot. Like, sure, it could be, there should be more. Granted, with the whole Pokédex, yada yada, we don't need that drama again. But regarding to Pokémon Snap, I feel like this is probably a good, solid number to like just not to overstep themselves. Like, don't. I mean, sure, it's nice to shoot for the stars, but don't go aim for the sun right now. So I feel like this is probably a good spot for them to like. 200 for 200 Pokemon. I think that's already a good spot to for these interactions and of course all these different Pokemon. So I'm not. I mean, sure, I would like more Pokemon, but I feel like there's nothing too worrisome to get or get angry about. So I don't mind, honestly.
Yeah, for me, when I heard the number, I was like, "No, that seems low." And then I heard about, then I read further, and they're like, "Oh, there was only 63 in the original Pokemon Snap game." So okay, so that's, you know, it's over three times more. And then, as we all know, DLC. So it could be like what they're pulling with Sword and Shield, and that, you know, they're gonna add more content. Say, "Hey, there's a new path that you can take now on this island, and there's, you know, 20 more Pokemon over there." Or, "Hey, a new island mysteriously emerge." You know, there's a lot of potential there. And then the real thing here in that the sorry, separates Snap from Sword and Shield is that in those areas, like the wild areas, you know, they were only showing certain Pokemon like popping up and popping down. Like that was easy for them to do. That's just them doing a walk cycle and then a run cycle if they wanted to chase you. For this, they're trying to show them in a, like a very natural habitat, them flying through the air, you know, being constrained on a path. That's a little bit different. That's harder work. So, and again, they're trying to give like a more natural and photogenic feel. So they couldn't possibly, you know, stuff all, let's see where we at, 898 Pokemon into one, you know, archipelago. If it was that easy, then everybody would go there and take all the Pokemon. So I'm okay with it. And like I said, DLC, I bet you they're gonna do it, especially with how well the DLC for Sword and Shield was received. So I think it'll work, and I'm still very excited for it, especially since it's coming out in April. Can't stress that enough. I mean, this means now that we have two first party games that we actually know about. Yeah!
It's when was the last time we knew about two first party games? Feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah. It does. Well, I mean, if we want to be facetious, like early 2020, because we knew about Animal Crossing and Xenoblade.
Yeah,
But
true.
like that was it. No, wait, I'll take that back actually, because we didn't find out about Xenoblade until the first Nintendo Direct.
Right.
Like the release date.
Oh, I think Xenoblade got revealed. Yeah. Oh, release date.
No, the release date. We knew about Animal Crossing because they delayed that because it was supposed to come out in 2019. So we knew about that release date, but Xenoblade's release date we didn't know until the first director 2020. Yeah. So yeah, it's been a while. Oh, yvay. Now, this isn't the only Pokemon thing that's coming out, because I actually forgot this until I wrote this, but this is the 25th anniversary of the Pokemon franchise. I was surprised by that. I mean, I remember 20, because that was a big year, because that's when Pokemon Go came out, and certain other things are coming out, but this is the 25th anniversary, and they did a special video about it, and they did like a Rube Goldberg thing with all the Pokemon toys and plushies, and they did a thing for Pokemon Go and Detective Pikachu, and they showed the anime on the consoles and everything, and they how the gaming system's there. It was all so clever, and they're promising a lot of big collaborations and reveals this year, which we now can confirm because of the Pokemon Snap reveal and a release date announcement. But apparently one of the things they're doing is a collaboration with Katy Perry. Okay.
Katy Perry is talented.
Agree to disagree. She's certainly colorful.
So when I was driving home, actually, I never listened to Katy Perry for obvious reasons.
Obvious.
She was big when I was in high school, and I was too cool, obviously. But I listened to like 3 or 4 of her songs because they just kept coming on, and I gotta give it to her. She's very optimistic. It is feel good music, and that goes with Pokemon. So I kind of could see it. I'm not as against this as you are.
Okay, we clearly listened to different songs because there are some. We're not debating.
Oh,
we're not debating.
I know which
Katy
one
Perry.
You're talking about, but let's talk about Firework. Let's talk about.
Yeah, did you see her outfit?
California
in the music
Girls.
For
But it's about the lyrics and the vibe. The vibe.
Right.
Yes.
Come on, Will. Join me. Right.
Will agrees with me. Will knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, his silence is golden right now. So, anyway. But, yes, there is apparently a Katy Perry Pokemon song coming. Uh-huh. And there's more apparently coming. So there's stuff to look forward to with that. And now, before I continue, I do want to give out a shout-out. And Will will appreciate this. I'm giving a shout out to the one and only Veronica Taylor.
Okay.
Yeah, because after I wrote the article that I did to talk about the 25 Years of Memories video that I just mentioned, I follow Miss Taylor on Twitter because I'm a fan, and she posted like, "Hey, can't believe it's 25th anniversary and yada yada yada." And I thanked her for, her service as the original voice of Ash. And I was like, "Hey, I just wrote this video, or sorry, this article about it." And she goes, "Oh, will you send me the link to the article?" And I'm like, "The voice of Ash is asking to read one of my things. This is awesome." So I was actually in my car when this happened, so I had to wait a little bit. But yeah, I did indeed send her the article. And she goes, "Thanks. This is a lovely article. Good luck with your writing career, especially your video game writing." And I go, "Well, thank you, Ms. Taylor." And I mentioned that I also write comics and novels and such. And I said, "If you ever need a writer, I'll work for you for free." And she goes, "Noted. And your great sense of humor is a plus." So you see, gentlemen, someone does appreciate my humor. And this further affirms that I
was purely saying that as a platitude.
Wrong.
Purely. There's just doubt.
So you're calling the voice of Ash a liar.
I'm just telling you, I don't want to crush your spirits here. She was just being polite. There's no way anybody could listen to what you had to say and then say, "Oh, he's got a great sense of humor."
Yeah. See, this is why you're not the host, because you can't see what's right. You can't see what's right in front of you, Tyler. But
I mean, the only thing that's kind of, well, because unfortunately, like, from what I can tell, me and Todd are the only ones here of the three that actually has met Veronica Taylor. So.
It's true.
That's true.
I had the honor of meeting her at C2E2, gosh, 4 years back, I think.
And I met her.
Her panel was, I was in Artist Alley, and hers was the only panel I left my table for because I had to meet the voice of Ash. And I actually
see that is fandom right there. I feel like Will just did it for a trophy, you know.
Because again, one, it is partially for the job for the Outer Haven, but secondly, is also because just to see again, it's Veronica Taylor, and of course, like with Manuela, of course, seeing her interviews, and of course, seeing her with her daughter as well during the times, it's quite enlightening. It's not simply for trophy's sake, Tyler.
Yeah, and to be clear, I met her before I knew she was Manuela, so that would have started a whole nother series of conversations. But I met her when I was at C2E2, and I was dressed as Ash. I even tricked her into thinking I was too tongue-tied to talk, and I did the Ash pose of like pulling the hat back and getting with the Pokeball ready before asking my questions. Goes, now I'm ready. But she was great. And thank you, Ms. Taylor, for reading my article. It meant a lot, and your praise, which I know was true, and not a platitude, as some false.
I'm
false
kidding.
Sonic
I'm sure
saying.
It was true. Yeah. I'm sure it was true. Todd, you have a very nice sense of humor.
And just like if you want to go and compare, like just let us know when you, Tyler, actually meet the voice actor for Sonic of Roger Craig Smith. Then you can probably gloat a little bit there.
Yeah,
I'm going right for Jim Carrey. That'll be my stat.
Good luck with that. I mean,
he might do like Saturday Night Live Joe Biden thing, and I could go to SNL and then act like that counts.
Right, you're in New Jersey. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
Well, in this case, Will, I say we should gloat because we must be gracious in victory, and in times much like these, there must be a winner. And hey, loser. Alright, so moving on. But wait, we're not done with Pokemon news. No, we are not, because there is a rumor flying around based on somewhat credible leaking sources that the Diamond and Pearl games are going to get a remake for the Switch. And I know what you're thinking, wait a minute, we've heard about Diamond and Pearl remakes for a while now. Yeah, but that was for the 3DS. This is specifically for the Switch, we pray. I'm just saying, with you know how Nintendo was with the 3DS, they really just can't let it go for real. Just saying, but no, this is for the Switch, and it comes from a leaking service that has honestly been accurate about Pokemon news in the past, including certain things about Sword and Shield, apparently. So if this is to happen, it would definitely fit the 25th anniversary mold. There was already rumors about Let's Go Johto, so like this fits that mold as well. So do we want? Diamond and Pearl remix. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. It feels it's time. I feel like it's been rumored for like 4 years now.
Yeah,
it's been forever since Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
True.
I'm all in. I want to see it on Switch, and I hope that they don't just like rush it out the door. You know they will to hit that 25th or the 25th anniversary if necessary. But I do expect this will probably be our big holiday game.
Ooh, I could see that. You know, we know they like to put Pokemon in November, so if it's not going to be Snap, maybe it could be this.
Yeah. I feel like regarding to the remake itself, like I definitely went out of mind. It's definitely one of the generations I kind of missed it, but I've only heard a lot of great things about. And if once confirmed in their Pokemon Red, if it ever comes, then yeah, this is definitely another good game to prepare for the coming year. And of course, naturally, I think it's also perhaps it is trying to rebound from that whole debacle from Sword and Shield. So, of course, with new Pokemon Snap and now this remake, I think this is probably a good way for Pokemon coming to redeem themselves, I feel like.
Yeah, and they really went deep with Alpha Sapphire? Yeah, Alpha Sapphire, Omega Ruby, and like their post-game content, because we had Deoxys, we had, you know, Rayquaza, which is, of course, an Emerald version. And so I'm going to throw out a challenge, and this is based off of a Pokemon rap battle I saw recently. They not only need to make sure Giratina is back in the game in the Upside Down world, we need Arceus. All right. Despite Arceus having a movie and being the apparent god of the Pokemon world, technically, he has not been in the game. He was a DS Toys R Us exclusive, and he had no story in the game. At all. So we need an Arceus storyline, if not an Arceus versus Giratina storyline. So make it happen. I mean, why not? We all know Platinum is one of the best Pokemon games. Okay, that joke went over your head. It's fine. But yeah, we'll keep you updated on this. We haven't written about this because it's very much still a leak and a rumor. And like Tyler said, this has been going on for like 4 or 5 years at this point. So we'll see how it goes. But it would definitely fit in with the 25th anniversary. And I think we're all safe in saying that there's definitely going to be at least one more Pokemon game after Snap release this year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so next up, we had the thing we basically been talking about all podcast. Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. We finally, I'm looking at you, Game Awards. Looking at you, Game Awards. Got a trailer for the Bowser's Fury content of the game. And it's actually kind of surprising in what we see. Like, we're in a large island area that's very open world. Lots of, you know, stars and cat bells and everything. You're going to be teaming up with Bowser Jr., apparently. So that's fun. And, of course, Bowser's gotten dark. little dark. I was like, wait a minute.
He's like, just furious. He's so angry.
Yeah, he's so angry. But yeah, we are facing a super power darkness filled Bowser, and he looks intimidating. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, I just want to bring up something that we're going to hear, because I think that also Matt McMuscles also pointed it out on Twitter. And like, here in the trailer, they call him Mega Fury Bowser. I'm sorry, that name is just kind of like Mega Fury. I mean, sure, it's kind of straight to the point. But I'm getting the same tune as Max Power from The Simpsons. Like, you want to call him Mega Fury Bowser, Max Power? While in the Japanese localization, they call him God Slayer Bowser. I mean,
ooh, that's
which one's much more better? Max Mega Fury or God Slayer Bowser? I'm sorry. But with the
Max Fury.
You, sir!
It's not Max Fury, it's Mega Fury. Listen, why don't you?
Omega Fury.
It's not Omega Fury either. It's Mega.
Mega Fury Bowser or God Slayer Bowser. I don't know. I feel like God Slayer Bowser is so much more prevalent with that image. Because, again, Bowser pretty much went full on kaiju. It's pretty much Godzilla to the point. And...
But he never slayed a god. That's the issue with this. That's where this falls apart.
Yeah, and we all know that Nintendo is very particular in the things they want to say. And...
Right.
You know, God Slayer, well, awesome and definitely anime style, like everything else in the last part of that trailer. Not exactly something you want to tell your kids. Like, ooh, honey, who's that big monster? That's God Slayer Bowser!
Yeah,
I don't know.
Fury
I feel
Bowser
like it's a missed opportunity for me. I feel like it's a missed opportunity, in my opinion.
Of course. Nintendo is full of missed opportunities, as we've happily regaled people on this podcast. But I can understand why I do agree that Mega Fury is a little obvious. I mean, even Giga Bowser is just better.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have, like, just gone Bowser Fury form or something like that, which also sounds like Bowser Furry form, which also would be hilarious. I mean, we did have Cat Bowser, though, right? That was the main boss of the main game, so that's even perfect. Furry form and Fury form. Totally easy. So, and then the Super Saiyan we're talking about, there is apparently a Mega Cat Bell.
Yes. Yes,
and yes. It basically turns Mario into Supersonic Saiyan.
Good compromise.
Yes,
Thank you. I was gonna say Super Saiyan Sonic, but that doesn't work. But Supersonic Saiyan Mario, and he's the cat's meow. Boom.
Yeah, like the trailer itself is like, it's just so reminiscent of Odyssey, and like this is pretty much is the Odyssey DLC that we've been wanting for so long, but no, they had to go and attach this to Super Mario 3D World for Switch. And just like, again, with all these different gameplays that we know from Odyssey in this game, of course, and of course the cat mechanics, and of course we even have Bowser Jr. joining with you on this level to help with his dear old dad in his dark form is just, and apparently, like, from what we can tell from also the gameplay trailer, they released it after the main trailer, is that Mega Fury Bowser. I'm sorry, I just gonna call him God Slayer. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's
say God Slayer. You're in a safe space.
No.
I'm sorry, as God Slayer. God Slayer Bowser is just like, he's gonna be going going mad from time to time, and she's going to make Mario's life into a living pain in the butt while getting all these different cat stars or cat metal, something of that sort, the equivalent. And it's just like, until he goes back into his, retreats into his shell, which, okay, so we got to basically keep our stay on your toes while also collecting all these different shines while waiting for the activate the power of the Mega Cat Bell, which, okay, like, definitely is wondering, like, how much, of course, naturally, a lot of people's asking, like, how many hours is it going to be for this particular DLC, to say at least, because, again, it is just simply tacked on to 3D World for Switch, but, like, and that kind of brings up the question for many people, including myself, like, will you be double-dipping for this game for simply Bowser's Fury? Because, again, I see this thing, because easily sell this thing as a separate DLC, but, like, I don't know, do you guys plan to actually double-dip for simply Bowser's Fury?
Well, I'm definitely double-dipping, but not just for Bowser's Fury. I love 3D World. It's one of my all-time favorite Mario games, and I can't wait to play it again on Switch. But Bowser's Fury is it looks like a really nice addition. I am concerned about the size. Like, they show the final, I assume the final battle between Mario and Bowser is when you get the giant cat bell. And the fact that that was in the trailer and you could see, like, the different islands on the archipelago, it seems like it might not be that big. It seems like it might be a little bit smaller than what people are thinking, like maybe 3 hours long. So I'm kind of on the fence about Bowser's Fury in that regard, but I'm definitely double dipping.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm double dipping, mainly because, you know, I liked 3D World and I liked the cat suit and some of the other things that happened, but I didn't get Super Mario Brothers Deluxe U. I didn't get I know there's another remake. It doesn't matter. I don't really get the remakes unless I absolutely have to. The only one I feel that I got was Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and I wanted that one because, you know, we were going to be playing it together, which we did, and I won in battle mode a lot, obviously. And I wanted to get
Never.
The Link. Yeah, no, I did.
Maybe once.
Stop. I wanted the DLC because I wanted, you know, the Splatoon kids, and I wanted Link, which he's my main now. And, well, now I haven't played in like a year. But, you know, I wanted that one. That one felt meaningful because of the DLC, and I didn't mind double-dipping for that one because I knew we'd be playing it together. But I didn't get, like, Tropical Freeze is a remake. I didn't get, you know, Super Mario Bros. Deluxe U. I don't know if I'll get this one. I mean, if we get it for free, then sure. I hate these. I don't hate them. I don't like that they're just like, hey, let's remake this game, slightly upgrading graphics and, like, just throwing some new content. That's, let's be generous. 3 hours tops at best. I mean, that's not enough content for me. That's not enough content for me.
I think it's probably in the same length as, like, a normal Odyssey level, if anything else. That's what my best guess is. So probably will be that. And yeah. Also, I just want to briefly mention as well, they also showed in the gameplay trailer after, is that in regards to Super Mario 3D World also, there will be online play. But I heard, like, again, there are some caveats because, like, if the game... the player who hosts the game will be the only one who actually makes progress. So there's that whole caveat, like, when you play with other people who actually has a game and they can't progress, but only the host player can. So there's also a lot of different fine detail prints, like, Nintendo, is this right? Or shouldn't we have progress on all sides? Or, like, should all players be at a certain point so they can progress equally together? It's just... I've been seeing a lot of different discussions in regards to this, and of course, naturally, Nintendo's online service isn't actually as great, even for in comparison to Sony, because again, Sony also tried online multiplayer with, like, Little Big Planet and all that, from what I've heard. So, yeah, the inclusion of online play, good, but can it work with 3D? Or 3D World? It's gonna be something to observe, to say the least.
Yeah, we'll pay attention to this, and it's less than a month away, so that is some good news right there. But yeah, we'll see how this goes. Now, in other Mario news, we have a potential sequel confirmation for Super Mario Party. If you recall, the Super Mario Party game came out in 2018? I feel it's 2018.
2018, yes.
Yeah, 2018. And it was a huge success. Like, it, like, basically revitalized the entire Mario Party franchise. It's sold, like, I think over 8 or 9 million copies, which is incredible. And the team behind it, ND Cube, has put up a brochure for recruitment in Japan. And the art they're using is all Mario Party, including the main Mario sprite, if you will, for the Mario Party box art, Super Mario Party box art. So, and they're saying, like, hey, help our next game, which would, it's fair to say it's going to be Super Mario Party 2 or whatever, because, again, the first one did so well, and, you know, Nintendo is never afraid to make a sequel. So, unless it's Mother 3 or 4, well, the 3's already came out, but, you know, Mother 4 or Star Fox or F-Zero.
Well, I'm excited Donkey to Kong. See if this does come out, which I think it will, and it should,
I think
given
it
the
will.
Success of the first one. Because, I mean, Super Mario Party, Mario Party 9 and 10 were pretty awful. But Super Mario Party was really, really fun. I mean, the boards were lacking, but the mini games were good, and I like the dice concept. I think they introduced that in a different title, but each character having a custom dice. There's a lot that they could improve on, though, and make, you know, one of the best Mario Parties yet, because I do think that with the Switch and with the Joy-Cons, you can do a lot more things with the mini games. And I would love to see a kind of a game that's similar, but with more boards and more like character focused boards. I love the olden days where you go to Wario's Bama Battlefield or whatever, and like the character touches are in there, like Luigi's engine room and those cool little tweaks like that. So I'd like to see them go in that direction if they do release a sequel.
I'm kind of looking forward to the sequel to the next Mario Party. Because I'm sorry, I'm just reminded. I've been seeing some old gameplay videos from the previous Mario parties, and last I remember, Hudson is currently bankrupt, so no more original creators. But to see, basically, want to see how they create from the success of Super Mario Party, and I don't know if they can incorporate like elements from the old games into the next one. Then okay, maybe you can win me back in Mario Party. So I'm gonna be curious to say the least.
Yeah, I didn't get the I didn't get Super Mario Party mainly because I know it's more of a multiplayer game. I know that there was online, but it just didn't feel the same. Like, I remember playing Mario Party 1, 2, and 3 with my friends, and it was like our time of our lives. Like, hey, let's go and rent Mario Party 3 again. We can go and, you know, do battles, and it was awesome. I still remember like Aces High and all those games. And, you know, I'm totally down for it. But if the sequel comes, great. I wouldn't be surprised if it came out next year, because, again, this was a recruitment brochure. So I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, are able to crank it out in another year or so. That would be a nice little casual title that they know will sell millions. So power to them. Power to them. And like Tyler said, let's hope they fix some of the things that weren't as good as the first one. So we shall see. Continuing on, we have Super Nintendo World, a slightly dour news piece. The opening was scheduled for February. It has now been delayed because of Corona. And it's 2021, and this dumb virus is still screwing us over. Thanks a lot. So they are pushing it back because of the spike in cases in Japan as well as other parts of the world. So this is just them being safe. I don't blame them. They need to do it, because the last thing you want is a hampered opening and then hearing that, you know, cases spike because of Super Nintendo World. Not the best PR move. Like, that's what happened to Disney almost, remember? So I feel bad, especially after getting that awesome direct that Tyler totally hated. And we'll have to see when they reopen. Keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, I feel like we're going through everything in the world right now. Even after like they show off that direct with Shigeru Miyamoto, is like, yeah, maybe a little bit too preemptive to say the least. I mean, sure, I'm glad that you're excited for all these things and brings back smiles to everybody. But with everything as it is right now, maybe it is like just be on the safe side. Like, yeah, just hold it up just a little bit until things are a bit more controlled. So, yeah, I mean, while I am sad for this delay, but again, it can't be helped. It's just the way of the world right now.
All right, and finally, this was a little piece of news that I found, and it was very, very interesting. So, the sales numbers for 2020 are, you know, starting to really, you know, come forward, and that's awesome. And one of the things that I found was that in the UK, the Nintendo Switch sold more than the Xbox One, PS4, PS5, and the PS, that was four, right? Yeah, Xbox One, Xbox Series S, or X, right? That's the new one. Yeah, yeah. X, and then a PS4 and PS5 combined. So, and I know that the latter two don't seem that impressive, but when you combine it with the other two consoles, the Switch is just dominating. It's like pure, utter domination, and yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I hope that I do wonder if it will be able to reach the Wii's level. I always forget how many the Wii actually sold. I think it was like 1,000,008 or 108 million. But if the Switch, I've read that they're in the middle of their lifespan now. It's got a really good chance, especially if they do the upgraded console. They'll get some more people already have them upgrading, and we'll see those numbers continue to increase. I'm curious as to when the PS5 or the Series X, but most likely the PS5, surpasses it for the first time. Because it's going to happen eventually, right? Like, yeah. At some point, it's going to happen.
It's got to. Like, it's as and I know that this sounds like so pessimistic, but as great as the Switch is, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be like one of those ones where, hey, it's going to totally, you know, be consistent. It's going to be like an evergreen. It's going to sell well every month, no matter if a game comes out or not. But yeah, eventually people are going to be able to get the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And the fact that it didn't happen in November and more than likely December is, you know, awesome for the Switch. But, you know, it's going to end eventually. Or does it have to? Hear me out on this. We already know some of the big games that are coming out in 2021 for the Switch, like Mario and Bowser's Fury. We now know Pokemon Snap is coming. There's at least one more Pokemon title coming, I guarantee.
Shout out Bravely Default 2.
Bravely Default 2. I was just about to get a third party, so we got Bravely Default 2. We got two Monster Hunter games. We have certain other third party titles that. We have Shin Megami Tensei, two of them. So we already know that the Switch is like loaded with titles. What's coming out for Xbox and PS5?
Ratchet and Clank.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's one. That's one.
Halo Infinite.
Bah. No, that's not. No.
Come on.
We all know it's going to go the route of Cyberpunk and be delayed 20 times and then be horrible when it launches. So, come on. Let's have a real game, Tyler.
the PS5 version of Cyberpunk.
I don't count that.
No. What else is coming out for this?
Exactly.
Psychonauts is a game that's coming.
Okay. But my point is that right now the hype is kind of dead. Like even the PS, I saw another article that the PS5 is not selling well in Japan. Which, and that's like one of its home bases. That's supposed to be where it sells well outside of America. It's not doing well there, apparently.
I want to point some info inside as well, because like ever since they have moved that main headquarters from Japan to California, I think that may be also the reason why it's just a whole lot of disconnection right there. Because it's just like, while there are some good games for the PS5, and of course, like naturally, Japanese development games over there, they had to go through California, and of course, naturally, time zones and all that. I think that's also, there's a lot of disconnect as well. So there's also like different variables to consider with that, with the poor sales as well, just as an insight.
Yeah. So I was just, again, like Tyler said, we know that it's gonna be the PS5. We all know it's gonna be the PS5, but the PS5 will eventually usurp the Switch. But for right now, Switch is king.
And by that, I mean for like 1 month. You know, yeah, I'm not saying the PS5 will always dominate the
Not a chance. And I'm just, if it does continue that the Switch is like super dominant, then yeah, I'm not gonna be mad at that at all.
Like the only thing I probably would imagine how the PS5 is gonna surpass Switch is obviously they gotta put in some like really good titles or exclusive, like with Ratchet and Clank, or heck, even the next Persona game or something of that sort.
Horizon, like, has that sequel coming out.
So like, until Nintendo also has their own like first lines or just basically third party support to basically help them support for these next couple of months or even years, then yeah, like the PS5, Sony's taking over Nintendo. It's gonna be for a while, so it won't be for a while. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So, and as a potential Nintendo rap song, I am writing states at the end. Keep your next gen graphics. We actually have games on the Switch. So, with that, Epic Burn / Rap Diss, which I could totally rap, obviously. That's why I'm the host. We move on to our main event because Splatfest is here once again. And this time it's not a revival. It's not a round two to further prove Tyler wrong. It is a totally unique Splatfest featuring Superstar versus the Super Mushroom. Which item is better? What are our picks? You'll find out as we settle it in Splat. Okay, so this is actually a very unique Splatfest because it's not one where it's like, oh, well, I like ketchup more instead of mayonnaise, you know? And obviously the chicken came before the egg. What fool would say otherwise? But rather
Stephen Hawking.
Well, he had his own issues, but I'll let that
go. Oh, my. You know what? Dang. Probably Taylor was right. You are funny.
I have my moments. Anyway, of course, Veronica Taylor is right. She's the voice of Ash. Anyway, this is more of a kind of like a gameplay aesthetic. I mean, which is better? Is it the Superstar, which makes you invincible? Is it the Mushroom, which gives you, you know, a size boost and in the case of the Super Shroom, you know, really mega powers? It's a little bit more about gameplay preference and how you like to play Mario. So, Tyler, I'll start with you. Are you a star guy or a mushroom guy?
This one's, like, no doubt for me, mushroom. Like, 100%. 100% mushroom. Because the star lasts for, like, 7 seconds. The mushroom, you can get a lot of mileage out of the mushroom. Sure, there's no crazy powers, but it affords you that extra hit, and you can keep it for as long as you avoid getting hit. It's pretty simple. Like, I know I love the star powers sound effects. You know, I wasn't a good impression, but you know it. It's great, but it only lasts for 7 or 8 seconds. Mushroom is just the more useful power up. And put it this way. Imagine you are playing Super Mario Bros. 3 on the NES, and you have a tough level coming up in front of you. And you need to choose one power-up that you've collected throughout the game to start. So you hit your little select button, bring up the menu, and you can choose between a mushroom and a star. Which item are you picking to try to beat the hard level? You're picking the mushroom, because the star is going to last you the first 3 jumps, and then it's done. Meanwhile, the mushroom will last you forever. So this is a no-brainer for me. Mushroom all the way.
Well, I mean, not forever. I mean, you can get hit and lose its power. But yeah, your point.
Well, yeah, but if you're a skill, yeah.
Skill. You know, if you got good.
Right, and you can break blocks with the mushroom. Another big plus. And get more power-ups, including stars.
All right. Will, how about you? Where do you fall on things?
For me, obviously, I gotta stick with Fiber Marina. I'm gonna go with the star power.
And... Oh,
I hate you, Will. I hate Will so much.
I'm sorry. I will forever stick Fiber Marina through
Why
thick and thin.
Why do you do this? She's a squid child. What is wrong with you?
I will forever stick Fiber Marina. And I just want to just quickly refresh everyone. We're going to the pre Splatfest convo between Marina and Pearl. And, like, sure, again, we're going to mushroom and star power. Sure, there is that temporary little boost of invincibility, which, of course, there's it's just on a time limit, while mushroom is pretty much indefinite, which, unless you don't get hit again. I mean, okay, sure, but, again, star power, it's just something that about it that you don't have to feel worried. Like, while you have the mushroom, you do have to worry about getting hit. Well, for that brief 7 seconds, or... that brief moment, you don't have to worry about anything at all. And plus, at last I remember, I think it is also one of the powers that actually can one-shot Bowser or any other bosses. Last I remember.
Depending on the title.
And last I recall as well, was there a song as well regarding to, what was it in Super Mario Odyssey? Jump Up Superstar. there's a song to go with it as well. You don't hear Jump Up Mushroom Star or Jump Mushroom? I don't know. That sounds even worse to type. I don't know. And also, once you, like, in the Splatfest as well, do you want to be called the Mushroom King and Queen? I don't know. It sounds a little bit iffy, don't you think? Well, I'd rather be called the Star King and Queen. Queen.
Hold on. Stop. Okay, first of all, there was a song about mushrooms. It was Scrap, though. Okay, it's a little piece of Nintendo history.
Really?
This was during the I believe it was... was it? I think it was Super Mario Brothers 3. No, it was Super Mario World. That was it. And they were going to have a special song to go with it, and it was called Gotta Get Them Shrooms.
Oh,
but obviously,
boy.
I'm lying. But I had you going, and he was like, yeah, see, that's why I'm the host, because I can weave the lies. But no, there's no mushroom song that I know about. But
there are mushroom dishes at Super Nintendo World.
This is true. Including mushroom, a super mushroom burger. So, I mean, you can't eat a star, Will. Come on.
Yeah, great point. Great point, Todd. Great point.
Well, there's Pop Rocks. There's also that similar to stars. So, yes, there's that. And plus, last I remember as well, in Super Mario Galaxies, you actually can collect star bits. So, yeah, the technique is candy of stars. So, yeah.
Stars could eat. Mario wasn't chomping on those. Yeah, they're poison to Mario.
Yeah.
But just wrapping up on my argument, of course, why is it that people also like mushrooms? I mean, sure, I do love my mushroom pizzas. I'll grant you that. Mushroom pizzas is actually the best thing ever, aside from pineapple pizza. But again, star power is just, again, that with that sense of invincibility and no worries. Hello, Hakuna Matata. No worries. That's kind of the thing that I love about star. Of course, with the theme song, yeah, it's just like nothing screams like I am almighty than with the star power. So, and that, I don't know, like, sure, it's temporary, you only get it for so long, of course, and with every other levels you got to be worried about it, and until they, of course, it's the rarity, you never know when's going to pick it up in other levels, or even once you reach to that end goal from, like, I don't know, from the old days of Super Mario 64 and all that. But again, star power is kind of like the pinnacle. Sure, is it like an iconic item alongside with the mushroom, but again, Mario Party, get more stars or everything else. It's just like the star is kind of like the pinnacle item that for Mario. I mean, sure, mushrooms is common. Star is rare. So I don't know. If you ask me, I prefer to take star power than anything else.
You made a great point about it being the pinnacle item. I just, why did you lead off with, I got to decide with Marina blindly? Like, you make some good points. But you know, you got to side with Marina.
Somebody has to go and someone has to argue for the other side.
Shaky. It makes the whole thing fall apart.
Somebody has to argue
pill.
For the other side. You went for the mushroom. I got to pick with the other side. So excuse me, princess.
First of all, I hadn't gone yet. So for all you know, I was going to pick star. So thine point is moot. So, second of all, I now have yet another reason to establish why I am the host, because I actually know the music that plays when the star goes, and neither of you two got it right.
Oh, I know the music. I just am terrible at singing.
Oh, okay. Well, allow me to regale you. There you go. See? That again, that's why I'm the host. Now,
Will's was pretty good, too. Will's was close.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway. But as for my pick, I will join my brother Tyler and
yes!
pick the mushroom. And this was a little harder than I thought, because both of them have their perks, obviously. Both of them are a key element of the Mario universe, undeniable. But when I think of the history of Mario as a whole, I think more about the mushroom's impact than the star's impact. Because A, like Tyler said, the star only lasts for, you know, a set amount of seconds. And, you know, it's great, but it's limited. And if you run out the worst time, you're screwed. Second of all, even if you have the star, you can still die by flying off the level. And so that gives you, like, a false
sense
of...
Or getting crushed.
Or getting crushed and everything. And there are some things that the star can't kill. So it's giving you a false sense of superiority. And I hate people who think they're superior.
Unbelievable point. Unbelievable
Thank
point.
You. Thank you. And then with the mushroom, it's giving you extra life. Because think about it, especially in the earlier Mario games, you start out like as pint-sized Mario, you know? Then you get the mushroom, and you go, wah, wah, wah. And that is, like, life right there. It's like, oh, I'm full size now. I can take two hits instead of one, you know? And when you lose a life, what do? You don't go look for a star. You go look for another bloody mushroom.
Exactly.
Yeah, because it gives you a chance to finish the level. And even going beyond it, look at Mario Kart. There's one star item. There's multiple mushroom items. All right? Because apparently mushrooms make you go fast in a car. I don't know if they, do they turn into fuel? It's not exactly clear. I mean, have we been thinking this green energy thing all wrong? We just need to put fuel cars by mushroom. It works for Mario, apparently. But so there's that. And it's just the feeling of when you get the mushroom and you just hear the sound effect and you realize, like, okay, now I can take on this level. And the mushroom is always there at the beginning of the level. You know, it's going to be one of the question mark blocks. And even if you're, you know, down and out, you can always count on the mushroom being there to help you out. The star, it's nice. It really is. And if you're in a really tight spot with a lot of enemies, it can be that, you know, godsend. But if you're like me and Tyler, you know how to get good, you know, you don't need the star.
You can
complete a level without the star. It's a lot harder to complete a level without a mushroom. So
the Mario Party point, too, just circling back, because you mentioned Kart, I mean, it just makes you think of the spinoffs. The mushroom gets you an extra dice block. I mean, it goes back to get good as well, because the star is nice and all. That's the goal. But the mushroom, if you control the board, if you can move as the most spaces, you're going to get to the star earlier. The mushroom enables everything. Just it all starts from the mushroom. And there are multiple types of mushrooms. You got the golden mushroom, which gets you two extra dice blocks. Who could forget the one-up mushroom? Like, it's... I am not sure. I haven't seen the dialogue between Pearl and Marine yet. Do they specify if all mushrooms are included, or is it only the super mushroom?
Last I remember on the convo, I think it's mostly regarding to the super mushroom, because again, it kind of they also Marina kind of made fun of Pearl's height. So yes.
Oh, that's cruel.
Oh well.
And also, like, I'll give you that regarding to the variety, but like, how many variety of mushrooms are there? I mean, it's pretty much the same variety species as with like piranha plants.
What about the propeller mushroom? The propeller mushroom is a game changer.
There you go.
That's another great type of mushroom. And also, the mushroom shirts look cooler than the star shirts.
I beg the difference, good sir.
All right. So, I think we've settled this pretty well. Obviously, mushroom wins.
Yeah, but
we shall see it the next 2 days.
Yeah. So, Will, do you have the times for the Splatfest?
It is going to be running for 48 hours. So, this coming weekend, it is going to be for the full weekend. So, 48 hours.
Like, but when does it start? Friday night or Saturday night? I can't remember.
I believe it is going to be starting on that on the Friday night. Last I checked.
Okay. So yeah. So check the like Nintendo Twitter handle. They're very good about updating that kind of thing. But yeah. So go and get your Splat gear ready. Go and pick your team. Mushroom versus Star.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Nintendo account, and yeah, it begins at 2 p.m. Pacific time tomorrow.
Wow, that's actually really early. Usually do it around 5. Okay. But yeah, so I'll probably jump into that tomorrow night in between that and Puyo Puyo. So that'll be fun. And of course, let us know what side you are on. And yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes, Will. We'll see who's gonna jump up, superstar. Yeah.
No, we just see. We shall see.
Just don't be mad when we go spirit bomb on you and you see the mushroom cloud.
Yeah, great point, Todd. Got him again. Boom.
Got him. See, humor.
Let's see who has the last laugh.
It's me, ooh. Mario.
This is like the SpongeBob episode where SpongeBob sticks his arm out and people cheer, and then Squidward sticks his arm out and there's crickets.
Yeah.
And Todd sticks his arm out, people cheer. When Will sticks his arm out.
Crickets.
Jeez, these two. Do you hear this, audience? Do you not hear these two? Honestly.
Quiet, Mineta. I'm joking. Maybe. I don't know anymore. But, and also, so with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
What would you like to see from Nintendo in 2021? 8% of you said Bayonetta 3. 55% of you said Zelda and Donkey Kong Anniversary game. 37% said a Nintendo Direct by February.
I'm okay with that, you know, because obviously it's all about, you know, hearing the new games, and obviously there's a lot of people who want Breath of the Wild too.
And you know what? I didn't even realize it until I just read it right now. Maybe the Nintendo Direct would have gotten more pull. I said by the end of February, I just couldn't fit it given the thing. So I should have said by March, because that would have, you know, that two extra.
That's fine. I have my specific words written down so that we have the correct tally at the end. So we're good. And of course, let us know. Actually, for our poll question, let's talk Pokemon Snap. What are you most excited about for Pokemon Snap? Or sorry, new Pokemon Snap. Is it A, just having a new Pokemon Snap game? B, seeing the Pokemon in their environments? C, seeing what Pokemon is in the game? D, having a new Switch game to play? Can't stress enough D. Just saying.
Right.
Can't stress enough. And of course, let us know what you thought of all the news of the week, from new Pokemon Snap to the Pokemon 25th anniversary. What do you personally think is going to happen with that this year? Do you want the Sinnoh remakes? Do you want Let's Go Johto? Let us know. Are you excited for Bowser's Fury now that you've seen Supersonic Saiyan Mario? And do you want a Super Mario Party sequel? Let us know in the comments below. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag!